Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road. Well, this is episode number 5, and today I want to talk a little bit about a question and kind of an outcome to that question. What if everything you prepped for, SHTF, shit hits the fan, never happens the way you thought? So let's analyze that, because what happens if it doesn't work out that way and you have this big master plan? Then what are you going to do? So the slow motion train wreck, or I call it a collision, is happening. We've hit an iceberg, and we can hear the crushing metal, and we can feel the vibrations all throughout the hull, and the pain of the impact is real to most Americans. But the media tells us everything's fine. Look, the band is on the deck. They're still playing music. They're still arranging the deck chairs. Hey, happy hours at the bar. So no matter what we do, we can run to higher ground, but we're still in a sinking ship. And all we're doing is running from one air bubble to another, hoping we don't drown. And the simple fact is the media and our lying politicians are never going to give us a big picture of what is really happening. So what I see happening pretty much every day are a bunch of what ifs, I guess, is how I'll look at it. Like, what if the economy is collapsing yet everyone thinks it's okay? People wonder why you're in a panic because you can't get more than $100 a day out of the bank, kind of like in Greece. But they'll all tell you it's better than a run on the banks. What if protecting your home and yourself and your family from looters gets you in trouble with the law? Let's say you're taken in for questioning because you called the police because there's some use on trespassing on your property. But they say that you brandished a gun and you threatened them. So while you're in police custody answering questions, your wife and family and your property is attacked and looted anyway. And then when you bring that up to law enforcement, they just go, well, it's your fault because you shouldn't have agitated them. What if Big Brother controls every aspect of your life and you're called a kook? What if everyone that you love and care about thinks you're the mental patient and you know you've just woken up in a Hunger Games world or Agenda 21, but no, you're the one that's a little off? So what if these things happen? Well, they are happening. They're happening every day. But why doesn't anybody see it? Why don't we see it? Well, it's normalcy bias. It's part of human nature. And normalcy bias inhibits our ability to really grasp a disaster once it's underway. And you can look up normalcy bias, but preppers suffer from this too. I know in a lot of the books, they'll sit there and go, well, his spouse has normalcy bias. The government and the people have normalcy bias. Well, everyone has normalcy bias. And it's what we think is normal. And so we look at the world as normal, but we're preparing for a big event. Let's say it's an EMP or a big earthquake in Yellowstone Park, or maybe a pandemic. But what we don't see is maybe the big things not happening, but little things that are equally as bad are happening every day. And we're only planning on the obvious big one while we're missing all the small ones. So it'd be easier if there was a coronal mass ejection and it sent the entire planet back to the, 15th century? Who knows where we'd end up? But the simple fact is if there was an EMP or especially a coronal mass ejection, 50% of the world's population would die within a month. And within a year, 90% of Earth's population would be dead from starvation, malnutrition, dehydration, hypothermia, all these things that we're not used to. But that would at least be something that would trigger us to react. You know, there would be something screaming, go, take action, get the F out of Dodge. So we just sit in the boiling water like the proverbial frog talking to one another, saying, well, this ain't that bad. It's a little warm, but. So in life, as usual, we usually only have two choices. We can either bug out, or we can try to save Uncle Sam. I say save Uncle Sam because I wrote a post on Uncle Sam is a dead man walking, and I'm working on that, so it's not posted yet. But those are your two options. You can bug out, or you can stay and fight. Now, I don't like the term bug out, but those are your two options. So if you lived in 1776 and saw a vision of America today, would you make the right choice? Would you even see the right choice? Because in reality, if you lived back then and you looked at America today through this vision that you were granted, you'd go, those people shouldn't be putting up with this. They should have bugged out a long time ago. They should have fought. What happened to America? What happened to the republic that we were granted but we couldn't keep? So you would see it differently. I mean, they went to war with England over a tax on tea and not having proper representation in England. Now we're taxed at 50-60% on pretty much everything we make. We're taxed on tea at a higher rate than they were, and we don't have any representation in Washington. That drove that generation to war with England. And yet we sat back in our boiling water going, well, it's not too bad. So what if the shit never hits the fan? What if shit just happens like it's doing, like the blob? It just slowly suffocates you. One shit sandwich after another. That's kind of what's happening. And we can't see it because of probably our normalcy bias, status quo. We just get used to it and it becomes the norm and we become in a rut. So that's why I say we really only have two choices. You can bug out, and I'm going to talk about that later, or we can fight to save Uncle Sam, who's dying of cancer. But you can't do both, because once you bug out or you leave, you're no longer part of the solution. You're gone. You're working on your own stuff. If you're saving Uncle Sam and trying to rebuild the American dream, well, you're not going to leave because you're in the heat of battle. You're right there. You're doing something. You're proactive. So that's why I asked the question in the beginning, what if everything you're preparing for or prepping for doesn't happen the way you plan? It's funny, but you know, I see preppers all the time saying, I need to have a bug out plan. I need to do this. I need to be ready for when the shit hits the fan. Well, I think we're in a situation right now to where if it was all boiled together and concentrated and then just presented to us on a plate, we'd say that's the shit hit the fan moment. But it doesn't hit the fan. It just continues to happen like they used to say, shit happens. So these are what we look at every day. And I'm going to take a short break, commercial break, actually. And then I'll be right back to kind of talk about this subject, because I did read a post the other day talking about prepping and bugging out. And it kind of aggravates me because there's two sides of the bug out argument or discussion debate. There's, you know, the articles, 15 reasons why if you bug out, you'll die. 10 reasons why you should bug out. And they're all fairly generic and cut and pasted and spun into a different thing. But I think it needs to be analyzed, because I'm probably considered in a prepper's community as the guy that just wants to bug out, because I've said it before. When the shit hits the fan, I'm bugging out. You know, if I see bad things happening, I'm bugging out. So I feel sometimes that I have to defend that a little bit, because I'm not going to stick around and face insurmountable odds when I can just leave. But there is a trigger effect before I do that. But I don't buy into the other half of the argument that says, well, where will you go? What will you do? Everyone's going to do that. You'll be there with all those. And so it's kind of like they give you two jackass preferences or premises, and then they go, oh, what would you do? And then if you say, well, I would do this, well, you know that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I would do this. Well, that, you know, where will you go? So the premises are kind of stupid. And the simple fact is, if you're preparing, you're preparing, and you're prepared for anything. So we'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit more about this.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need, and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
Okay, so we're back. Hope you enjoyed that. It's my new commercial. Yes, see, I actually have a store called Doomsday Depot. And the reason I do that is because I didn't want to have it on my blog here, because I like Prepper Guy being more about being prepared and stuff, and I didn't want to muddy it all up with other stuff. So I created Doomsday Depot. And that's just a place where you can buy stuff that, if you're preparing, you can buy stuff. And I picked Doomsday Depot because I liked it and it sounded good. There will be a Doomsday. And a lot of the products I believe in that are on there, And a lot of them I don't, but I know most preppers do. And so I bring that up because it all has to do with preparing, bugging out. And a lot of people might listen to this episode and other ones and read some of my posts and go, why does he have a store when he doesn't believe this stuff? I do believe it. I interpret it differently, but I believe it. There will be a doomsday. The only thing is, I just don't know what it'll be. I don't know what will trigger it, but I do know, like the what ifs that I talked about, the economy is collapsing. You know, it's a fiat-based currency, which all currency is. I mean, it's, you know, checks are fiat currency. When you write a check from the bank, it's still backed by something. So, you know, a fiat currency isn't like a taboo, ugly word. It's used as the whipping post. But the reality is, you know, there's been good fiat currencies in America for a long time. It just needs to be backed by something besides empty promises and leveraging and silly things like that. So the economy is collapsing. And you look at Greece, they can only take out so much money a day. And I'm sure, you know, because they're anti-austerity and they don't want to actually save themselves, they'd rather continue to be on the dole because they feel they paid into it, which maybe they did, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But either way, their economy is collapsing and they can only take out so much money a day and they're having really hard times. But it seems to just kind of move along. It doesn't matter how mad people get. Nobody looks at that and says, oh, that's it. Time to bug out. Look at this shit. You know, now they just kind of become used to it and they deal with it and they adapt. And then they just move on to the next crisis. So what if on getting in trouble with the law because you see a bunch of people messing around on private property and you call the police and then they lie? You know, what if you shoot one of them and the other ones run away? Now, they had ill intent. They were doing something. You didn't just shoot them because you wanted some target practice for the day, because there's plenty of jackrabbits and squirrels for that. No, you shot them because they were doing something. And as a sane human being, you perceived it as a threat. And they did threaten you. And you shot one of them. And the rest of them ran away. Well, now you're in jail. And regardless of the outcome, you're totally inconvenienced. You're in jail, you got to get a lawyer, you're spending money, you're losing money from work, your family's mad at you, your wife might be having problems because you're off in jail because you just had to shoot that guy, even though he was physically breaking your door and coming in the house. And you are smart enough to realize that's a threat. Well, the other three that run off, they tell the police, well, he just shot him. We knocked on his door and said, hey, we're hungry, and my friend here, he needs some food because he's got a little three-year-old girl, and we've tried everything. We really have. And the reason the door is broke, because this guy got all mad, and he slammed the door on my friend here, and it shattered the window, and then he pulled out a gun and shot the guy. Well, now they're victims, and you are the perp. You're the bad guy. So this is how the system is gamed. It's always been that way. People lie, and now you're in jail. Well, what if this is a bad situation where there's looters running around and the world is about to collapse? You're in jail. All your money that you saved and squirreled away is now being spent on legal fees. And you're totally being inconvenienced for doing probably the right thing. So these aren't really what ifs. They're WTFs. What the heck? So one of them is a big brother runs every aspect of your life. You're called a kook. It's as if you woke up in a real Hunger Games or Agenda 21 type world or situation. Everyone you love thinks you're crazy and you're the mental patient. So these aren't far-fetched and they're not really what ifs because they are actually happening. The what if is just, how do you perceive it? Do you perceive it as just, it's life. It's normal. This is why this is happening. Well, you have normalcy bias. I have it. Everyone does. I suffer from it a lot because I have a hard time to react to things. That's why I analyze the hell out of things, because I have to preset what I'm going to do in my memory, because my normalcy bias is that it is the one character that I have a hard time analyzing something that has never happened before. It's like, instead of deja vu, it's vuja de. This is shit that's never happened before. So I try to create a sense of deja vu in my head and try to analyze these things. And if I see this happening, what does that mean? And then I can create real life reactions to situations. Done that in my life a lot of times, you know, even dealing with temptations. You know, I'm a religious guy. I don't attend a specific church, but I love my wife. And so I had a friend of mine tell me, an older gentleman, he goes, well, what you do is you just say, a woman will hit on you because you're in the construction field and you're in good shape and you make good money. Picture that and then how you would react to it. And if you did accept her temptation, you're going to get a divorce, you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose. And if you start living it in your mind, just in a scenario, kind of visually, all of a sudden you start feeling reactions. You're having visceral chemical reactions in your body. You go, that would be awful. My wife would be heartbroken. I would feel horrible if she did that to me. Why would I do that to anyone? I would lose my family. My kids might never want to talk to me again because I destroyed a happy home. So that's how I set up scenarios in my head. I try to live them visually before they happen. So these things are happening now. And I mean, it's an everyday occurrence. So that's what normalcy bias does to us. And I think it would be easier as preppers if something big did happen. If there was a coronal mass ejection that, you know, it would kill 50% of America. I mean, an EMP would, in a year, would destroy 90% of American life. And a good book is One Second After, which gets into it. And it's written by a really good writer. But it's based on the report that came out on EMPs. And that report actually was presented to Congress on the same day that they got the 9/11 report. So obviously it's like, oh, 9/11 report, let's blame Republicans, let's blame Bush, let's deflect from the issue. And that report on EMPs never got any traction or even read because there were other more exciting things to talk about, like 9/11. So that book is really great, and you get to live those reactions I tell you about in your mind, and you go, man, that would be awful. What would I do? And they're trying to rebuild their little community and keep it together and the decisions they have to make. And so if you're put in that position, it would be easy to react because it happened. But what if the shit doesn't happen? What if the shit doesn't hit the fan? What if it just slowly happens? What if it's one crap sandwich after another, but never the big giant footlong? Just one bite after another. Then there's nothing that screams, go, take action, get the F out of Dodge. You know, you just sit there in boiling water, like I said, and, well, temperature's kind of hot. Yeah, bubbles are nice. So as usual, that's why I say you have the two choices. Because really in life, there's, you know, life, if you look at life as a big video game, and it was, you know, an older video game where it wasn't all graphics, and it was just like, you walk up onto a guy and you A, B, C, or D. Well, that's actually kind of factual because in reality, there's only so many choices you have. Before that happens, you have a lot of choices. You can actually plan and set goals and make a future. But once you're right there at the crossroads, it's usually left or right, up or down, this way or that way. So I want to talk a little bit about bugging out. And bugging out is a term that's abused and really just all over the map when you think about it, because they use it as this thing, like I was telling you, and it makes great articles and 15 reasons why you should bug out. And they give you all these scenarios, like the world is going to collapse, and your money will be worthless. Well, it already has collapsed and it already is worthless. Well, number two, there'll be a terrorist attack that will bring America to its knees. Yeah, like 9/11. So that's what I mean. These shit hit the fan moments are not really hitting the fan. They're just things that you go, oh, wow, that sucked. And then before you can even pack your bags, everything's kind of working out. People are coming together. So you read all these, you know, 15 reasons why you should bug out, and you're like, oh, not so much. Now, what if you read the other article? If you bug out, 10 reasons why you'll die. Number one, everyone will be going to the hills and you'll just have to deal with them up there. Okay, that makes sense. If everyone left on that day at 2 o'clock, they would all be there. Yep. Number two, if you have 1,000 people living on the mountain hunting for deer and urinating in the water or whatever, you wouldn't be able to survive. That's very true. I mean, that is true. But it doesn't factor in any of the other variables, like there's, you know, how many million people live in the city you live in? Well, they're all, you know, screwing stuff up too. You know, you're going to run out of food if you stay in the city and there's a crap hit the fan scenario. You go to the mountains, everyone's going to shoot all the animals and you're going to run out of food. Either way, something bad's going to happen. So their arguments are always based on some grasping at straws kind of thing to either grab your attention and get you to read it. You know, what do they call them? Bait headlines or whatever. But do they really grasp any part of reality? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, anything you talk about is probably reality based, but does it help you look at it in any way, shape, or form? You just, when you read all 15 articles for and all 15 articles against, eventually you're just sitting there going, well, shit, I don't know what to do. They both make sense. So you have to look at it and go, okay, let's say it never hits the fan. It just continues to happen. And normalcy bias and everybody accepts the status quo and nothing changes. So what am I going to do? Well, I would hope that you would kind of try to better your situation in all things. That's why we prepare. Not really preparing for some big event that may or may not ever happen, but you just want to prepare. I prepare to get out of debt. I prepare to be ready when I go camping. I prepare to be ready when I go to work. I prepare to take a shower and go to bed. I mean, and you do that and you don't have a bug out plan because that's just kind of ridiculous. That would be like asking a military general, well, what's your retreat strategy? He'd look at you like you're crazy. He's like, we don't have a strategy to lose. We have a strategy to win. Well, what happens if you become overrun? Well, then we have a fallback position and a rally point. We might have 4 or 5 rally points to where we can regroup if we have to. But if we're overrun, yes, we may have to retreat and fall back. It's not a bug out. They're not leaving the battlefield. They're just covering their ass and getting back to a position where more of them can get together, reload, rethink, and then go back and engage into the battle because the mission is not won. So that's how I look at bug out. And maybe I'll even just stop using the word, but it is a catchy word that does seem to get people to read your article when you use bug out, shit hit the fan, blah, blah, blah. But the simple fact is it's a fallback position. It's not a bug out location. If you want a bug out location, go buy some land somewhere, fix it all up and live on it and get the heck out of the city that's driving you crazy. Because all the things that you would normally point to and go, when that happens, I'm going to leave, are happening. So just leave. But if you're in the battle, then you may have to fall back. If there's a horde coming at my house and things have been bad all along, you know, in the economy and everything, and I see the writing on the wall and there's still some form of rule of law, but just barely. And I see this just massive gang of looters, 100, 200 strong, and they're just burning everything in the path, and they're taking over the town, and they've killed half the police, and they're walking toward my house. Well, me and my wife have spent 15 years remodeling this house. I mean, years before that, I was tearing out pictures and magazines going, that would look cool in that room, that would be cool over here. Oh, I would really like this kind of kitchen. And so we've built this house. Now, the house was 110 years old or something when we started, but I liked the bones, but it needed to be rebuilt. Every steel beam under it, I welded together out of scrap steel beams from manufactured homes and cut them all apart and rewelded them and braced them all up and got it level. I took off all the siding and scraped off all the dead mice and re-insulated it and ran all new wires and every window was thawed out and the bay window was thawed out and I built it myself and almost fell through the roof a couple times and my wife painted and we did everything together and there are a shit ton of memories. And when I see that horde coming, when they're pounding down my front door, I'm going to go out the back door because I want to live to maybe rebuild it again. But I want to live. And so I will fall back to a different position. I'm not bugging out. I'm just falling back. I'm going to grab as much crap as I can that I need to survive. And I'm going to go live under a bridge or in a culvert until that horde gets tired of tearing this town apart and moves on. And then I'll come back and I'm still alive. And you know what? I got another 15 years. I got to rebuild my house again. And if the world didn't end and it was just shit as usual, then I'll call the insurance company and get a bunch of money and then I'll rebuild it. Anyway, but I won't be dead because the simple fact is that horde is not going to have a debate with you. They got mob mentality and they're all up in arms. And no matter what you say, no matter how much it makes sense, they're going to kill you and your family and burn that house and all of your memories to the ground at one time. So if I can remove one variable out of it, and that's me not dying, then the outcome has changed. House is still burnt down. All the memories are gone, but I'm alive. And the memories live in my mind. I'll always remember building the house. It just sucks that it's gone. Well, water will do that. You know, a wildfire will do that. It doesn't have to be a horde. So bugging out to me is a fallback position. It's meeting up at a rally point and regrouping and coming back and working on the community. And you don't have a bug out plan any more than a general has a retreat plan. It just happens and they're trained for it. And if it has to, they go, here's rally point A, rally point B, fall back to here. We'll get back together. We'll get back in the fight and go kick their butt. But they don't have a bug out plan. Well, when everything happens, we're just going to run and panic and go to the hills, total all out retreat. Nope, that's bugging out. So you can't bug out on America because it's our country. We built this country. It's ours. It's not Washington's. It's ours. We the people made Washington. We created Washington. That is our territory and we built it and we fund it. Now, we might have gotten a little lax in how it runs, but regardless, it's our company. Now, we're being kicked out of our company like Jobs from Apple, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, thrown out by his own board of directors. He let that happen. We're letting this happen. It's our country. So you don't bug out on it. You might have to retreat and fall back. And if you don't want to fight the battle for America, you still want to live. Now, how do we fight and save dear old Uncle Sam that's dying of cancer? Well, I have more opinions on that than probably anybody would want to hear, but I don't think it's possible. And I hate to be a naysayer and pessimistic and doom and gloom, but when you really analyze it, it really is effed up. There's most sane preppers and everyone will just sit there and go, it can't be fixed. The only people that think we can fix this country are the two parties that want some more of your money to continue to fight to fix this country while they're screwing it all up. It's like the guy from Terminex or whatever company gets rid of termites in your area. He's knocking on your front door telling you, you don't want these termites. They will eat your house up. Meanwhile, in the backyard, they're releasing termites. In the front yard, they're killing them. In the backyard, they're just turning them loose. And in the middle is your house getting eaten up. And the only reason that guy telling you how important it is to save your house from termites is the guy charging you to kill the termites. And that's kind of a weak analogy, but they don't care. You know, and once you get your head around the fact that nobody in Washington, D.C. gives a flying rat's crap about what you think and how you would like it to turn out, it just doesn't, they don't care. So let's look at, you know, we got an election coming up, yeehaw, you know, so we'll get to vote. That's nice. When's the last time you voted? What, 2 years ago when they jacked us around some more or some initiative that the federal government went and just annihilated anyway because that's the state's rights and they don't believe you should have the right to even fart. So they canceled it out like marijuana or abortion or gay marriage, you know, whatever way the initiative went, the federal government had to step in and go, ah, no, shut up. So they don't care. You know, it's part of their marketing, which we talked about last episode, and they have a plan and we really don't. So we're the consumer. We don't have a product. We just buy products and the products they're selling us are crap. So we get an election. Okay, well, let's look at that silly nonsense right now. There's 17, 18, 20 Republicans, whatever, running for president. Well, we're going to have a debate, and then we get to hear the issues. Now, we're only going to let 10 of them in. The rest of them, just their numbers are too low. Doesn't mean what they're saying isn't resonating with America. It's just not being heard. See, my podcast might really resonate with a big part of America. But if only 200-300 people are downloading it, then it really doesn't matter. So statistically, I wouldn't be in the big debate of podcasters, but what if what I'm saying really does make sense and helps a lot of people? Well, the fact that it's not getting picked up by Google doesn't change the fact that the information is right. Just because some stupid poll doesn't like Rick Perry, and he's only at 2%, and meanwhile, you know, Donald Trump's out there just saying some crazy, ridiculous stuff, and he's getting all the coverage. He'll be in the debate, but he won't get maybe the vote. But it's like, you know, what's trending on Twitter. That's all. So he's not the candidate we want, but he'll be in the debate. They did this to Ron Paul during the election debate, and they just marginalized him and said, goodbye. Nobody cares what you think. So we're not given any big picture in this. They just go, yeah, we only got room for 10 debaters. And then we go, wow, yeah, it's only 10. Sorry, you other seven. It's only 10. As if they couldn't build a stage for 15 or 20. As if they couldn't moderate a debate with all of them. Have a double elimination. I don't give a damn. How many football teams are they? We still seem to narrow it down to a Super Bowl. How many basketball teams and leagues and, you know, NFL, all this crap. Oh, but for the president, we got 10. You know, it would just be too complicated to give you the information from 17 because our statistical team can't think that deep because they're a bunch of morons. So here's 10. Okay, great. I feel represented there. So if you think an election's going to help anything, it won't. So that's what I mean by shit happening. There won't be a hit the fan moment. So I'm going to summarize this down a little bit and wrap it up. Basically, it may hit the fan because I believe in inevitability. The Bible talks about the latter days and the end of the world and Revelations, and yet there's no footnote about America. The great lion in the east or the dragon flying from this direction. Yeah, any scholar will tell you that there is no mention of this great powerhouse over here in this part of the world during the latter days. So obviously, either we keep real quiet or we're just not notable for even a mention in Revelations. So I think something happens because right now we'd be mentioned. I mean, we've been screwing up the world and in the Middle East so much that I'm sure if somebody would have saw it 2,000 years ago, they would have been, I don't know who they are, but they're really screwing stuff up. So that tells me that we are going to become kind of a moot point during those days, which on our end of the spectrum might mean something really bad, like we collapse or we get wiped out by some natural disaster. I don't know. We're just not there. So whatever happens probably wasn't a good thing. And then you have history. Well, you know, Rome, the Byzantines. There's been a lot of great powerhouses. Even England back in the day, they ruled the entire world. I mean, there was not a place where the sun did not set on English soil, which meant they had places all around the world. Now they're just a little island out there just trying to pay the bills like everyone else. So history shows us that no matter how cool we think we are, we can collapse. And then I just think that in the real world of apathy and just not giving a crap, is that apathy? I think so. It kind of demands that we will collapse. America will fall. It will stumble and it will fall. And we're too big and our systems are too tight-knit. You know, just-in-time inventory will strip the stores clean in 3 days, quicker in panic buying. If there's a glitch way over there in the world that you don't even know them clowns exist, but they make something that goes into something that gets sent somewhere that ends up over there, put in this sterile bag that goes over there, that flies over here in a refrigerated thing, and that becomes your insulin, it will affect you because you don't get your insulin from the pharmacist. It's made in 15, 20 places around the world and then just shows up at the pickup point. That's will call. So with all of that, it's just too big and too complex. And the bigger the machine gets, the more refined and smooth it runs, the easier it is to drop a wrench in it and just stop it completely. Even if you stop the little gear in a watch that just moves the second hand, the hour hands quit moving too. So it'll collapse. And I don't think we as Americans are given a choice to bring Uncle Sam back home and nurse him back to help ourselves. That's not going to happen. And I'm not pessimistic. I'm just a realist. And there's just too many people out there that just don't give a shit. And they care. I'm not saying they don't care. I'm not saying you don't care. I'm not saying I don't care. It's just what we care about has nothing to do with maybe what they care about, and they care about something that doesn't have anything to do with what those people care about, and it's just become so much dilution that when you point to a real problem, go, if we would just do that, someone will go, well, you're painting with a broad brush, and what about my Aunt Sally, and you don't understand, and it's, you know, if you don't believe me, just read Facebook, because it's all over the map. Even people that you're part of their little group or their fan page. And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, they'll say something like, if you're going to vote for this guy, unfriend me. And then you read what he means and you go, well, it makes a little sense. And then, but, you know, maybe you were going to vote for that guy because on a more important issue, you like him. I'm not saying that happens, but that's what it is. So in all actuality, your two choices are bug out, which I mean, fall back, change your life, basically, because you can't bug out of your yard. You're there. That's where you live. So if the crap that's happening and the shit sandwich don't taste good, you're not going to really leave because there's nowhere to go to and you'll be found out eventually anyway. So just look at your favorite genre of books. If you like those end of the world books and you really analyze it, it's because responsibility has been removed. You want a new Ford Raptor? Just go down there and pick one up and break the window and drive off. Everyone's dead. Pretty easy. You know, you want that big house on the hill? Well, the owner's dead. He's a zombie. You shot him. Move in. But the reality is, those are just things that won't happen. But if you want that lack of, I don't know, worries, stress in your life, streamline your life. Pretend that the world really did end. What would that mean to you? Well, you wouldn't have to go to work. So stop going to work. Well, I can't do that. I got to have a job. You know, I got to pay my bills. Get out of debt. I will need to eat. Well, if you're in a survival situation, you're going to need to eat, whether you grow your own food or hunt. Grow your own food. Hunt. You can minimize your life to where it's almost as comfortable as a world with no responsibilities and no accountability. And that's just in your own sphere of influence. Just change it. You want to live in a cave and hunt your own food? Go. Go move to a mountain, stake a mining claim, 40, 50 acres, and start mining. Start finding some dirt and doing whatever and hunting and fishing and living. Move to Alaska. But the big one's not going to happen. And when it does, it's not going to be part of your plan. You're just going to have to fall back. And it will happen because there's not much we can do about it because the people running this show are not asking our opinion. So you can't fix it. So all you can do is be ready to fall back, know where a rally point is or a fallback location will be, how long you will have to stay there until you can come back after the horde or the fire or the floodwaters recede, and then go back to your life. And that's about all you can do. When it happens, it will happen. You won't know, and you might not be ready, but if you can survive through any disaster, then you'll survive that. But you're not going to bug out. You're not going to have a bug out plan. You're not going to have a shit hit the fan plan. You're just going to plan to live. And whatever happens, because everything bad that every prepper I've ever talked to says, well, when this happens, then that'll happen. And then all of a sudden, well, it's all happening. And you know what? That's happened and this has happened. And all of a sudden, business as usual. Nothing changed. So don't plan on that. You can't. But stuff will happen. It'll collapse. When? I don't know. Maybe my great-grandkids might see a collapse. Maybe I'm stuck here and no trigger event that's going to tell me get the hell out of Dodge. So I'm going to stay here and I'm going to simplify my life. I'm going to fight the government when I can. I'm going to try to implement freedoms when I can. I'm going to try to help my grandchildren where I can. Maybe teach them to live a better life, less dependent on this or that. And that's about it. And I hate to say it, you know, but a zombie apocalypse would be a hell of a lot of fun right up until you got bit, but yeah, it'd be great. Running around, shooting zombies, and kicking in doors, and blasting away, and jumping in that nice Mercedes, and running it into a wall, and killing another zombie. That would be a riot. I mean, it'd be like playing a video game. But back to reality, got to get up Monday and go to work, got to pay them bills, so start getting your life straight. Get a job you actually enjoy, even if it's a cut in pay. And then cut your bills so you can live that happy life. You know, take your yard, your world, or your sphere of influence and pretend you're living in the apocalypse and cut everything that breaks that illusion of the end of the world. Got bills and responsibility? Pay them off. Cut your responsibilities. Quit taking on the weight of the world. And then you can kind of live in a Hollywood version of the end of the world. It's like your yard. I get up. I want to build something. I build it. I want to go hiking. I go hiking. If I want to go forage for food, I go forage for food. I still have to go to work. Still have to pay the bills. But in my downtime, I can pretend that I'm living the end of the world. But it's not going to end up the way you planned. because there will be no hitting of a fan for the shit. It's just going to be like they used to say, shit happens. And it will continue to happen until we drown in it. So be ready for that. Be ready for things to never change, to just be bad and get worse. And be ready for that. And then if the fires are burning in your neighborhood, fall back. My fallback plan is to go to a hotel if there's a fire. If there's a flood, my fallback plan is to go to a hotel. If it's the summertime, I'll go visit family in Phoenix and swim in their pool. That's my fallback. If a horde's coming, I'm going to fall back. I'll live in a culvert for a while. There's no hotels because they burned them all down because they're a bunch of crazy looting marauders. Then I'll live in a hotel. I mean, an empty, vacant one that's been burnt to the ground. I'll live in a culvert. And when they pass on by, just like every plague that does, I'll come back, rake it all up, and start my life over again. That's as good as it gets. How do you put that in a podcast? How do you explain all that? You just have to ramble and try to throw some scenarios together. And that's what I've tried to do. And I hope it kind of helps you get your head around this whole shit hit the fan, bug out thing. Because what if it doesn't happen? But what will happen is tomorrow the sun will come up in the east and they will serve up another shit sandwich for you and I to eat. So just, you know, I think I tried to explain bugging out. I've said it a lot. I'm bugging out. I'm leaving. Things get bad. I'm out of here. I am. But I'm not bugging out in the long term. I'm falling back and coming back. So hopefully I answered that. And hopefully it helps you understand it because I've seen a lot of articles lately on this, that, and the other thing. And then as far as saving the government, a movement, forget it. You know, I mean, if you're that kind of person, write a manifesto and go out and change it, but they'll just squash you. So that's it for today. As always, I hope you do enjoy the apocalypse and have a great day.